Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Thursday afternoon, just before Friday, Monday morning podcast, and I'm just checking in on you. Just checking in on you, seeing how your week's going. How's your week going, huh? Did your fucking team have another championship parade like mine did? Well, you know what? I wish it did. Why the fuck should my town have all the goddamn success? You know? It's fucking unbelievable. I still can't believe you won that fucking game, but I'm not going to go on and 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 on about it. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. Came in a day before the Comedy Zone gig. I went to the Charlotte Hornets versus the Brooklyn Nets, you know? And when you try to go to a home game, sorry, I don't have my fucking microphone, so I'm just recording right off my laptop. So anytime I click on something, it might be a goddamn issue. When you're trying to do what it is that I've been doing, which is to basically go to all of the to go to a home game of every fucking team in all four major sports, every once in a while, you got to go to a game that's not the best game. You got to go see a couple of franchises that, even though they've had their moments, this is not their time. They're currently rebuilding. And that's what happened when we saw the Charlotte Hornets play the Brooklyn Nets a couple nights ago. Jesus Christ. It was like a fucking WNBA game. WNBA at its worst in the first couple of seasons, you know, where they just didn't look good. I mean, they look way better now, the fundamentals and all that, if you watch any of the WNBA. But those first few years, I couldn't understand why it looked so bad, because women's college basketball looked better than the WNBA. But Jesus Christ, Charlotte versus Brooklyn, Jesus. Did I say that enough time? Oh, Jesus. This is how fucking boring that game was. The kids that played at halftime was fucking more exciting because they were running the court. Big smiles on their faces. It was fucking hilarious. The game was like something like, you know, 16 to 14, and it was all layups. It was just all fucking running the court layups. It was tremendous. And but anyways, last night we went to we were at the Comedy Zone, and I did the smartest thing I've ever done on the road in a long time, was when the show was over, I just went home and I went to fucking bed. Because the Charlotte-Brooklyn night, you know, I had a couple of pops, about 17, and the next day I woke up, I'm like, what am I doing? What the fuck am I doing? Okay, I got a newborn at home. I can't get any goddamn sleep. I'm on the road now. I should be like a fucking sober as a church mouse and just go right to bed. And that's what I did last night. Fucking phenomenal. Other than the goddamn fucking cleaning ladies coming by every 10 minutes. Yeah. This place I'm staying in doesn't have the fuck off sign. So they just keep coming. Housekeeping. I love how they fucking knock, right? Housekeeping, and then immediately open the goddamn door. This is the lost art of knocking on a door, waiting for a response, and then coming in. Somewhere along the line, these goddamn kids today. Oh yeah, I just said that. These goddamn kids, they think the fact they just knocked that they can just means they can then enter the room. You knock, you wait for somebody to say, you know, hang on a second, or blah, 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 blah. You don't just knock on a fucking door and walk in. You got to give the person a chance, you know, put their dick away or something, you know. Well, who knows what they're doing? Maybe they're just sitting there in their underwear, right? I don't fucking know. But you fucking knock and you wait, and then you enter. Sorry, just saying. Fucking can't stand. That's one of my pet peeves in life. People who knock and then they just fucking walk in. That shit, or if, you know, when you go into a parking spot, you know, where two cars could fit, and you just stick your fucking cunt car right in the middle of both so no one can fit. Two cars can't fit anymore unless you're driving a smart car. So anyways, tonight, you're probably thinking, Jesus, Bill, after that Patriots Super Bowl, how could your sports world get any better? You know what I mean? Well, after a major dip, I believe on Monday, which I think they did on purpose because the Bruins had a little gap in their schedule, and with all the buzz about the New England Patriots, excuse me, I'm yarding here, be a good time to get rid of Claude Julien. And I just want to thank Coach Julien for being the best Bruins coach since I've been watching him for the last, you know, close to 40 years. Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's Verzi, everybody. Hey, Verzi, I'm doing my podcast.
All right. Let me you going to be done with it in an hour, you think, or no?
This is just the Thursday one. I'll be done in like a half hour.
All right, cool. I'm going to eat some eggs and shit, and then if you want to go for
Paul,
a steam.
Hey, Paul, you go eat those eggs, and then I'll meet you for a steam.
All right. We got breakfast coming in like 20. When it's done, I'll call you.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Okay, pal.
Okay, pal.
All right there, cutie. Anyways. What the fuck was I talking about? Yeah. Claude Julien, Jesus Christ, I've never seen a guy more of a victim of the GM. And for the, I do not understand that fucking move whatsoever. You know, I guess maybe if he had fallen out with the people up top, I have no idea. But how are you just going to blame it on him and not get rid of your fucking GM? I don't know what they see in this. Our GM, I have no fucking idea. I don't know. I have no idea what this guy's doing. I mean, he got rid of everybody, and I just didn't. I don't see. We actually were playing our best hockey of the year, I felt. You know, we won 3 in a row, lost a tough one to the fucking Capitals. Not a tough one. They actually kicked our ass 5-2. But, I mean, what the fuck? They're the Capitals. We didn't do bad for a 7th seed. I don't know. I think it's a dumb move. You get rid of the guy. It's like, okay, you want to get rid of the guy? Who are you going to replace him with? Who's out there? You know? And actually tweeted, congratulations to every other NHL team out there that needs a fucking coach that knows how to win a cup. Because that's what we just dumped. I don't know. I don't know. I don't get the shit, that stuff where the ownership gives into the fan base. It's like, what are they listening to? The fucking dopes that call into sports talk radio? I've never called in a sports talk. I watch sports all the fucking time. I would never call in a sports talk radio show, you know, just specifically to talk about the sports thing. I mean, I'll call in to hype a show, you know, whore myself out. Oh, I would absolutely do that. Oh, speaking of whoring myself out, but wait. Let me get back. So thank you to Claude Julien and for bringing us a Stanley Cup and ending up, you know, 40-year drought and continued success wherever you go. I know you're going to do great wherever you go. Hopefully you got a better GM at the next place you go to. So anyways, after all my ranting and ravings about award shows, I think I might be a presenter at one. Old Hollywood Bill is the Writers Guild Awards. And they asked me to be a presenter or whatever. And at first I was like, nah, I'm not going to go down and do that fucking bullshit. But then, you know what? I'm actually, I guess, softening up or selling out. Depends on how you look at it. But what I realize is that on our show, it's those award shows are a big deal for the writers because that's how they actually get money. So if you win an Emmy or a Writers Guild or a SAG thing or whatever, it's great for the writers in the writers room because they can say that they wrote on an Emmy award winning show and blah, 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 blah. So old Freckles has to play the game a little bit. Go put on a goddamn monkey suit. It's a fucking black tie thing. I got to go. I'm going to go to one of those fucking prom places where they have the cheap tuxedos because I don't think anybody can fucking tell. Just come out in those goddamn plastic bowling shoes. I don't know who the fuck decided that they wanted me to be a fucking presenter, but like if they've obviously never listened to me read out loud on my podcast, but I don't know. I figured this would be a good one to try out, see what I think about it because it's not televised, you know, and I don't know. We'll see if I can actually read out loud. I don't know. Nia's been on me about this shit. You got to do it. You got to play the game. All right. I'm playing the fucking game. Why make a fucking difficult business even more goddamn difficult? So fuck it. I'll give it a try. I'll let you guys know how that goes. How am I reading out loud? If that's in fact what they have me do. But it's not bad. It's only like 2 hours long. So it kind of seems like the best one to go to. And Patton Oswalt is hosting it, and I think he's a fucking genius. So at least I'll get to listen to his monologue. But I am without a doubt, I'm going to get a nice fucking, I'm going to get a senior prom special. The clip-on fucking tie and all of that shit. That's like the dumbest shit ever, to go out and go buy some expensive tuxedo. It's like, what are you, a fucking Rockefeller? But I guess people trash it then, right? When you walk the red carpet or something like that. So anyway, so there you go. There's my full of shit moment. After making fun of all those fucking award shows, I'm actually going to go to one. I don't know. What are you going to do? The fuck am I going to do, right? I'm doing it for the team. Okay? Can I get out of it by saying that? So anyways, I was saying how my sporting world, how it could get any better after the Patriots win, and then the letdown of seeing them give in to the fan pressure, whatever the fuck they did, getting rid of Coach Julian. Tonight, me, Verzi, and Joe Bartnick are doing a bucket list thing for any person that's even remotely into sports. We're going to the Duke versus North Carolina Tar Heels game tonight, and we got some great seats. We're sitting right behind the fucking Duke bench. Coach K is going to be there. If it wasn't so goddamn loud in that place, we could hear him, you know, during the timeouts and everything. It's going to be crazy. So I don't know. There's a chance you might see the three of us dummies on TV. But beyond excited to go to this, like, this is a fucking huge one. This is a huge one, as far as the bucket list sports stuff to go to. Years ago, I told you, I don't know if I told you guys, I went to Indiana University versus, what was it, Michigan State. And I believe it was the year that Michigan State won the national championship, and Bobby Knight was still coaching there. And I've never seen anything like that. All the years, every sporting event I've ever gone to, I have never seen anything like watching Bobby Knight coach a game. I mean, that guy, you watched him as much, if not more, than you were watching the game. I was actually rooting for the Spartans, you know? I came there rooting for Indiana, but Bobby was so fucking entertaining, I started rooting for the Spartans because I wanted to see him flip out even more. I've never seen somebody... he actually made me feel good about myself, like just complete loss of composure. Obviously, or whatever, his coaching style, motivating people. I remember they let up a couple of easy buckets, and this kid, the point guard, starts bringing it up the court, and Bobby Knight is like 10 feet onto the court, and he's yelling so much. He's like, do you ever see, was it Ben Kingsley in Sexy Beast, when he's yelling, you're being a right cunt? And he's like throwing his head into everything that he was saying. That's what the fuck he was doing. But it was way more intense because he wasn't acting. He was serious. And I've never fucking seen anything like that. And that's one of my favorite of everything that I've seen in sports. The coolest thing ever is that I got to see Bobby Knight coach at Indiana University. Man, that's fucking legend. That's like seeing Zeppelin or seeing the Beatles, you know, James Brown or whatever, like, you know. That's right up there. I saw Eddie Murphy on the Raw tour. I saw Eddie. He's my, I think, greatest things I've seen. I've seen Eddie Murphy on the Raw tour. I saw when he wore the purple suit. I saw Bobby Knight coach at Indiana. The fuck do I go from there? I saw Judas Priest on the Turbo Lover tour. Does that count? I don't know. I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan. I saw Dan Marino kick the shit out of the Patriots with Don Shula coaching. That's the one great thing about being an old guy is you can start talking about all the shit that seems like nope, that now fucking no longer exists. So I actually made if you guys can just bear with me clicking here, sorry, I know that's fucking loud as hell. I know it's annoying, and you're going to listen to it again right now. All right. I actually looked through... I got this document, Team Scene, and I have seen 31. I've been to a home game of every Major League Baseball team. I haven't been to all their stadiums because, like, the Mets changed theirs, got a new one. Philly's got a new one. But I've seen a total of 31. There's 30 professional baseball teams. I've seen 31 because I went to the Expos. I've seen 32 home games of the NFL. There's 32 teams, but I still need to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're the last one I need to see. But I saw the St. Louis and the fucking LA Rams. So that's how I got up to 32. I've seen 25 NBA teams. One of those being the I saw both the Seattle Sonics and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I saw the New Jersey Nets. Now I got to go see the fucking Brooklyn Nets. Speaking of which, I also saw the fucking, the Islanders at Nassau Coliseum. Now, if they don't become the Brooklyn fucking Islanders, then I don't need to go see them. It's like if you change your, they're still in New York. You know what I mean? I don't need to fucking do that. So I've seen 27 of the 30 fucking, I got three more to see in hockey. So I'm going to try to knock those out over the next year. The Fan Slam is what I'm calling it. You know, Serena's fucking the Serena Slam. This is just the Fan Slam. The fucking, you know, you have no life. You're on the fucking road. You don't want to kill yourself in a comedy condo. So you start building it around home games. I've actually made a list. I don't know if you're not a sports fan. This is going to bore the shit out of you. But these are all the fucking places I've been to that now no longer exist. The Boston Garden, Sullivan Stadium. Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium, Veterans Stadium, Three River Stadium, soon to be no longer there, Joe Louis Arena, the RCA / Hoosier Dome. I saw Peyton Manning there. I saw a game at Original Soldier Field, got a picture, and then this fucking asshole stole my goddamn camera. I also had a picture of me in when I went to a Green Bay Packers. Now, that game was a preseason game. They played the Browns. Brett Favre was still there. And Verzi says I can't count that one because it's preseason. But the reality is he just wants me to book a gig at like the Skyline Cafe and go to a Packers game, which of course I'll do. All right, continuing on. County Stadium, the Target Center, the Metrodome, the Edward Jones Dome, which is still there, but the St. Louis Rams don't play there anymore. Texas Stadium, the Astrodome, McNichols Arena, Mile High Stadium, Sun Devil Stadium. That still exists, but I saw the Arizona Cardinals versus the Patriots there. Qualcomm Stadium still exists, but the fucking Chargers aren't there anymore. I also saw that the San Diego Padres there, and I went there and watched Mark McGwire take batting practice the year he broke Roger Maris's record, and I saw him hit number 27 or 28 there. Edison Field before they redid it. The LA Sports Arena, that's still there, but I saw, who did I see there? I saw the Clippers there, and Biggie Smalls was in the crowd, and 4 days later he was dead, swear to God. The LA Forum, I saw fucking a young Kobe Bryant, and just left the Magic, Shaq with Del Harris as a coach. I want to say Dennis Rodman was on that team. I went to Candlestick Park, sat out in right field, and saw a early on head getting bigger Barry Bonds. Key Arena for a Seattle Supersonics game with rookie year Kevin Durant. And then the Kingdome. I saw young Ken Griffey Jr. I sat right out in center field. Bleachers, and as far as I know, oh, and you know what else? The Montreal Forum. I can't believe I forgot that. I saw the 1989. I went up there in March, and I saw a Canadians versus the fucking Minnesota North Stars with Patrick Waugh in net. I of course rooted for the North Stars, and they of course lost. So whatever. That's the dumb bullshit that I do when I'm out here on the road. And now I can add the, after tonight, Duke Carolina. And I want to thank the Comedy Zone for hooking us up. was some sort of Duke booster that gave us those tickets. And I was surprised the person came to the game last came to the show last night and left without saying hello, which was, it's like, at least could have thanked the guy. So if he's listening or she's listening, whoever the fuck it is that got me the tickets, thank you so much. And with that, let's listen to me try to read out loud as I practice for an award show. The nominees for the best kiss in a fucking movie about an octopus. All right, Loot Crate, everybody. Give me the loot. Speaking of Biggie Smalls, rest his soul. Be the envy of your friends and get your 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/burr and enter my code burr, B-U-R-R, to save $3 off on any new subscription. Crush that first sentence. Wait until I tell you about February's crate. It is very put together. I fucked that one up. Copy points. Mention at least three times. Spot? What the fuck does that mean? On a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate has it. The best surprises you know is coming. Loot Crate offers an epic... Fuck is texting me. Oh, all right. If you're more of a fantastical fashionista, I'm going to bomb at this fucking thing, then try Loot Wear. Monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics and your favorite franchises. If you want to get fancy, get a bigger box with even bigger loot. Do it with Loot Crate DX. Want to geek out your pet? Try Loot Pets. Dude, I don't know who. This is like. This shit is insane. You're just going to buy all these crazy t-shirts about fucking movies and put them all over any living thing? If you got a goldfish, try Loot Fish Scuba Wear. All right, get ready. Get over a little Aquaman fucking outfit. Get ready for the pop culture theme. February's pop culture theme, Build. Loot Crate has an awesome and exclusive items from the most put-together franchises. This February, experience iconic items from Mighty Morphin. I don't know what that is. Power Rangers, Batman, Lego Dimensions, and Tetris, including, as always, our monthly T-shirt and pin. Go to lootcrate.com/burr and enter my code burr and save $3 off any new subscription today. Holy shit, this is perfect for the award show. The Black Tux. Looking great for a wedding or a special event has never been easier with theblacktux.com. I'm fucking doing this. With high-quality rental suits, then I got to measure myself, don't I? How the fuck do you do that? You got to use your chin, right? So I can hold the thing down. With the high-quality rental suits and tuxedos delivered to your doorstep, the Black Tux is giving guys a new way to rent. And get this, the Black Tux offers free home try-ons so you can see the fit and feel the quality on your suit months before your event. Well, I got days. The best part, it's complimentary, done online. No trips to the tux shop required. All right. Hey, when it does it twice, I saw it the fucking first time. The BlackTux.com lets you create your loot, your look. Your Loot Crate, your look, or choose from tons of styles. Stylistic selected outfits starting at just $95. That's the kind of tux I'm looking for. These suits have a modern fit and are made from fine Italian wool. Itchy, the highest quality on the rental market. And if you have any questions or issue, their expert customer care team has your back every step of the way. After ordering, your suit will arrive 14 days before the event. That's a full 2 weeks to try it on and make sure everything fits. If anything is less than perfect, the Black Tux will send you a free replacement right away. When your event's over, you just drop the rental back in the mail. Shipping is free both ways. How easy is that? To get started now, visit theblacktux.com/burr and experience a new way to rent. That's theblacktux.com/burr. All right, I'm getting exhausted just fucking reading. Blue Apron. Hey, everybody, not all ingredients are created equal, man. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. Talk about how it feels to cook for yourself. Oh, my God. First of all, what I love most about it is I can do it in the nude. You know, it's my kitchen. If I pull the blinds, who gives a shit, right? You know, I put on an apron. You know, it's kind of like when you're completely naked cooking with an apron on, that's kind of like that's the kitchen's version of Chaps. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. Customize your recipes each week based on your fucking preferences.
Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/burr. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create an incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/burr. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. I like those guys, you know? They're giving you healthy food, and they only make me say their website one time. All right, lastly, but certainly not leastly, distilled jeans. Great jeans just don't have to be complicated. If you're not into crazy stitching, diamonds and embedded studs, you're not alone. You know what's funny? You know what have become dad jeans now? Guys who became dads in like the last 10 years is those true religion ones that had like that horseshoe stitching on the fucking back. I saw a couple guys at the airport wearing those, and they had like kids and shit, and they're all faded, you know, the dumb white stitching down the side. I didn't even buy those things. Those things from day one look like some country singer shit, right? All right, distilled, pronounced distilled, offers luxury grade denim at an affordable price. Jeans that would normally cost you hundreds, Distilled has just starting at $75. You know what? They sent me a pair of them. They're really fucking nice. They utilize the same fabrics and factories and wash houses as the best-known brands and designs while skipping the markups and the middlemen. The result? Pure, unadulterated denim with real retail, without the retail runaround. Just go to distilled.com, spelled D-S-T-L-D, .com, and see where minimalist designs meets maximum comfort. They guarantee the fit. They'll ship you them for free and give you free items in return until you find the perfect pair. Distilled has been featured in Forbes, Times, and TechCrunch, as well as on denim-clad celebrities in GQ and Vogue. Distilled is the only place in the U.S. you can get this quality denim for this price. You can find their amazing selections of outerwear, leather jackets, t-shirts, and more using the same principles of high-grade materials at low-end costs. Even celebrities are wearing Distilled. I got a pair of the Name the Jean style, and the fit is perfect. They did give me a pair of jeans. I don't know what style it is. And, they hugged my junk pretty nicely. Distilled is your answer to elevate style without elevated prices. Just go to distilled.com/burr right now and get 10% off your first pair. That's DSTLD.com/burr for 10% off right now. That the five letters, DSTLD.com/burr. All right, that's done. That's Delta, Sierra, Tango, Lima, Delta. All right, let's get back to the top of the page here and finish this out. All right. Has that been a half an hour? I have no idea. I never know whenever I'm fucking recording on just the GarageBand thing here. So we're going to go to the game here tonight. I can't believe I'm going to see them be this close to fucking Coach K. I know Duke's having a tough time this year, but Coach K's back from back surgery. And he did that thing where he, I guess every once in a while he gets so disgusted with his team, he doesn't let him wear any Duke gear, and he won't let him in the locker room until they start playing at a fucking level that the university is used to seeing. You got to love that old school coaching. That made me look up like, I was looking up all this stuff on Coach K, and I didn't realize that when he was at Army, he played for Bobby Knight. I didn't know that he assisted with Bobby Knight and all that. And there's all these great fucking pictures. You got to see the way Bobby Knight is dressed in 1979 in Puerto Rico when he's at the Pan Am Games. Of course, he ended up getting arrested because he allegedly slapped a cop or something like that. You want to talk about a guy that needs to fucking meditate. Jesus Christ. I was watching all this stuff where his coach sent me down this rabbit hole of Bobby Knight stuff. And, my favorite clip of all the Bobby Knight ones was when somebody secretly recorded him. Cause I feel like that was the real Bobby Knight. Cause I thought towards the end, he kind of was doing the Bobby Knight thing. Like when he did that game face thing, I think at that point he started like hamming it up when he didn't need to. But like, when you listen to that one where he's talking about the Purdue game coming up and that he has an 8-10 record, I swear to God, I'm going to start listening to that speech before I go to the gym. Because I actually listened to that thing, and he's talking about how he had to go to some function. And he goes, and I'm sitting there. I'm tired of sitting there with a fucking 8-10 record, everybody fucking looking. And I'm sick and fucking tired of losing to fucking Purdue. You guys get the fuck out there. Says somebody, if you fucking lose to Purdue and put me in that fucking position, I will fucking run you something until you, I don't know, something about puking or whatever. It's just such a great speech. And in the end of it, my natural reaction, I laughed and just said, that's how it's done. And I know we got a lot of criticism for the stuff that he did, but I think a lot of that criticism came from people that are not athletic, were never in a locker room. And, you know, they came from that whole, they actually had bad experiences in sports. And listening to Bobby Knight yell, I think, just brought all their sucking in gym class memories back. And I don't know. It's like there's a certain type of person that is a fucking athlete and can handle that and understands what the fuck that is. And I think if they don't have a problem with it, all these people who don't play sports should just shut the fuck up about it, because you don't understand what's going on. And I mean, Jesus Christ, Bobby Knight won almost 1,000 fucking games. And all his former players, for the most part, love him. And I always felt that kid, that last fucking incident that Bobby Knight had, I thought that felt that kid was baiting him. Because Bobby Knight walked by, and I think the kid said, "What's up, Knight?" You don't say that. That's totally disrespectful. And Knight just had that fucking temper, 0 to fucking 9,000. But I remember when I heard that story, I was like, that kid was being a fucking cunt. But you can't do that shit anymore. At least during his heyday, there was no cell phone cameras, man. He really would have gotten a lot of trouble, because there would have been fucking video of that. And I would have loved every second. I would have loved every second of watching him grab some student by the fucking throat who just did, "What's up, Knight?" Guy's walking around 900 fucking wins. Some sophomore comes by and that's, come on. So anyways, yeah, so we're going to be hitting that game tonight. If anybody knows, oh, by the way, I have to give a shout out, man. I went to this is my new thing now when I'm on the road, you know, because I got my beautiful little daughter out at home and I can't play drums as much, you know. Nia still lets me rehearse and stuff like that, you know, not rehearse, like practice and shit when I'm home if the kid's up. But I haven't been able to go to the practice place that I go to out in LA as much as I would like. So I'm like, well, I'm on the road, I ought to look up these rehearsal spaces. So I looked up this place when I was in Charlotte. It's called The Playground. And I went down there. Shout out to Eddie Z, who runs it. Totally fucking one of the coolest dudes I've met. A lot of these rehearsal spaces are just absolute shit. The drum kits are old. Everything's fucked up. Everything sounds like shit. I went into this place. This place was like a fucking first-class place. He stuck me in the best room that they had at a discount price because they were doing construction on some other rooms, and he didn't want to, you know, disturb me or whatever while I was playing. I played for like fucking 3 hours. Well, I paid for 3 hours. I only could get to about, you know, 2 hours and 20 minutes, and my body was like giving out on me. And I just had the best fucking time. And you know what I loved? When I went in there, the snare drum was tuned too low. And I was able to tune it up to sound pretty good. And I used to not even remotely have a game plan on how to tune up a snare. And I was really psyched about that. Thanks to the teacher. But anyways, this guy, Eddie Z, was saying he actually used to be a roadie for Van Halen, and he was on the 1984 tour, the last one with David Lee Roth, and then he did a couple with Sammy Hagar. So he had all these fucking really cool pictures, just originals that he took of like Sammy and Eddie Van Halen and David Lee Roth. It was really fucking cool, and I had the best time. And like that's what I'm gonna do when I'm on the road. Now that I'm back, building up the hour. Working the comedy clubs like the old days. Had such a great time last night on stage. Comedy Zone, dude. Comedy Zone's one of the best fucking comedy clubs out there, by the way.
if you can find the goddamn thing, you got to you walk in. There's like a cafeteria and then a bar. And there's a sign that says Comedy Zone. And nobody tells you. You got to like ask like 20 people. It's like you're feeling your way through the dark to finally go down those stairs to go down there. But just the whole way the stage is set up, it seems like every seat in the house is a good seat. You know, for, I mean, obviously I've never sat in the crowd out there, but just had the best time working the shit out. I did two shows. Both shows I was able to do a little over an hour, just pasting together new ideas that I have and then old bits that, you know, never made it onto specials. And just, I don't know, this is you wouldn't think so, but this is one of my favorite times of doing stand-up, is just letting everything else go and just trying to figure out, like, what the new shit's going to be. You know, I'm reading newspapers, I'm writing shit down, anything that I can throw against the wall. Last night I was on stage talking about how fucking human beings are edible, like, and everyone was like, what the fuck? And that'd be something that I would abandon, but I had no material, and I just kept going with it. And, it's just, I don't know. It just takes me back to my early days of stand-up when because your skills, like if you don't have the material, it just your skills completely diminish. Even though you have the poise and the skill set because you've been doing it that long, but it's just completely – just imagine a band if they had to like just workshop some riffs in front of a fucking crowd without like rehearsing. That's the greatest thing about the art of stand-up comedy, is that you can't go to rehearsal space and get the shit together and then fucking like you have to second you're like coming up with riffs in front of the fucking crowd. And it's yeah, it's fucking work. It's absolute work, but I don't know. I'm a fucking lunatic, so I totally enjoy this part of it. So anyways, that is the podcast. Once again, thanks to whoever it is that owns these Duke seats. Whoever that is, get in touch with the Comedy Zone. You have free tickets to any comedy show that I ever do for life. Front row, whatever the fuck you want, for giving up these tickets. Can't thank you enough. This is going to be amazing. So we're on our way out to Durham. And I was just out there, so I know a couple of good spots to eat at. So we're going to have a good time. All right, that's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. Have a great weekend, you cunts. And I will talk to you. I'll talk to you on Monday. I'll let you know about the game. All right.
This is Bill Burr, and this is the Monday Morning Podcast. I just did a 50-minute podcast. I tried to save it, and I didn't. Once again this week, talked for a fucking hour, evidently to nobody. I'm going to have to buy some sort of device so I can save them, so I can try and put them back up. I don't know what to tell you, but I don't even know if this one's going to record. I don't know if I'm going too long. I don't even know who the fuck I'm supposed to call. Who the fuck do I call? It's not like I call this number and anybody you can talk to picks up. You know? Typical of how we're living. You know, I was on the fucking airplane flying out to Boston, right? I'm on the airplane. And for some reason, they always have the fucking intercoms turned all the way up to 10. Right? Blows my goddamn eardrums out. So I say to the lady, she walks by. I go, is there any way you can turn the thing down? She's like, no, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do. The fuck do you mean there's nothing you can do? You can go up there, you can fucking turn it down. What, were they installed an intercom system on 10 with no fucking volume? Whatever. Fuck this technology shit. I got to figure out. Somebody sent me an email about something that I can record into. I'm going to try to find that. I guess I got to go out and buy it, but I apologize. I'm going to try to do one again tomorrow or something like that. Oh, Jesus, it was such a great podcast. God damn it. All right, whatever. I'm going to try it tomorrow. So all 14 of you, hang in there. I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow. All right, take it easy. Hey, what's up? This is Bill Burr. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with this GCast thing, but I have figured out how to save my podcast. All I had to do was press number 2. For some reason, I wasn't hearing that. You know? I don't know. She was saying it, or whatever, the computer with the fucking female voice has been saying it, but I don't know what's going on with this thing. It seems anytime I record something longer than, I don't know what, it doesn't fucking go through, but I know how to save them. So all I'm saying is from here on out, I won't lose any more podcasts, but I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow, and I'm going to save the thing, and hopefully I can publish it. All right? Thank you for your patience, and God bless the United States of America. On, it's Bill Burr. It is the Monday morning podcast. I almost said pod. The Monday morning podcast, Long Island. It's 6:18 on a fucking Wednesday. And I learned how to save these podcasts. So here you go. This is the podcast. This is it. I'm doing one take. I don't give a fuck. I've already done it 3 times and I'm running a red light. And I made it. Good deal. Good deal. Oh, hey, you guys got cameras? You got cameras where you're at? You know, you run a red light and they take your fucking picture. And then for some reason you have to pay the fucking ticket. I got a way around it. I got a way around it that I've learned. Somebody told me all you got to do when you run the red light is you got to be in the center. You know, if there's 2 lanes, just be in the middle. Have half your car in one lane, half your car in the other lane. And that doesn't get your full license plate or your full face. And you're through it. Granted, I haven't tried that yet, but I heard you can do that. Also, is another way. When I got my car out here in Los Angeles, evidently there's so many fucking people out here that you know, it takes, I swear to God, it took like 4 weeks or 6 weeks for me to get my license plate. Something ridiculous. So basically, I drove around for well over a month with just the name of the dealership where I bought my car at, on both the front and the back. And one day, as luck would have it, I was late going to the airport, and I ran a fucking red light, and they took my picture, and I flipped out. I was like, ah, fuck. You know, that's me flipping out. Ah, fuck. See, I stink at acting. That's good, Bill. Could you raise the stakes? You know what I really did? I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. This is fucking bullshit. That's what I really did, but I didn't want to yell like that. And, but basically all they had was a picture of the dealership and my stupid face, so I never got the ticket. Why am I admitting to this? Can they use this in a court of law? Come and get me, see? So anyways, I'm driving down the street, and I don't have my laptop with me, so I don't have your questions. But God knows I read them enough times that I can actually remember them. So here's the first question. Somebody asked me, hey, Bill, what kind of drum kit do you have? And were you having a band? And if so, do you have any good band stories? All right. I have a late 70s Slingerland 5-ply, the 5-ply shells that nobody wants. Everybody wants the 3-ply shells from the late 60s, early 70s. To get that great tone, whatever the fuck they're talking about. Well, fortunately, I'm a comedian, so I don't give a fuck. I'll take the extra 2 plies. And basically, yeah, they're all Bonham sizes. 14 by 24 bass drum. I had a 13, it's 14, and then an 18-inch floor tom. So years later, I bought the 16-inch floor tom, and recently I added another bass drum because I was listening to Primus, and I was like, I want to play like Tim Alexander. Even though I already had a double pedal, I'm like, I'm going to add another bass drum pedal. Because that guy from Slayer said it's not the same unless you have the fucking both of them. So I went out and I bought another bass drum. And I should have realized the fact that I suck with the double pedal, that if I added a second bass drum, all it was going to do was just take up more room and it wouldn't make me any better a drummer. But I did it. So, yeah, that's what I play. I got an old Slingerland kit. And have I ever been in a band? No. I was never in a band. I just had a fucking... The drums were at my house, so everybody came over to jam, man. And we sucked. Which is why everybody who ever came over now has a real job. yeah, that's it. I don't have any rock star. I don't have any fucking band stories other than that we stunk. The usual shit. And the next question somebody asked me was, what the fuck was the question? It was some question about, I guess late at night, they got these new economy dentures. Something like that. That's what the person asked me. Have you seen these economy dentures? What the fuck is this? And it's actually a really interesting question because I used to work in a dental office and I know a little something about dentures. Huh? Look at me. Peeling off another layer of the onion, as Madonna says. You know, she actually had the balls to say that one time. She doesn't have any balls. God knows we've all seen her twat. Yeah, she actually had the nerve to say that when she did yet another totally planned out, you know, look, I can dress like a whore this way. Nice fucking parking job, you fucking idiot. What the fuck? I swear to God, man, people just can't, you know, people cannot fucking drive out here in L.A. They really can't. Like, a lot of people don't know that. All they talk about is the traffic. Oh, my God, the traffic is so fucking bad, man. Well, you know what? When it clears up, the driving gets, and people can actually drive, I've established it before. You know, they suck at driving out here. Look at that homeless guy. There's a homeless guy out here. I swear to God, he looks like George Clinton. From Parliament, anybody? So anyways, you're asking me what these economy dentures are. I'm going to guess that they are a one-size-fits-all denture, which is really fucking bizarre. And I bet on the upper, it has some sort of form-fitting thing that will fit to your palate. It's horrific because when you get a denture, you're actually supposed to, you know, there's impressions, you pour up a model. You know, if they took out some teeth, they try to get the teeth to look like your other teeth so you don't freak people out. Like one day you look like a witch and the next day you come walking in look like Guy Smiley, you know? I used to work in a dental office. I actually am certified to take x-rays. I can take impressions. The upper impression was the worst. I'd always get some. I'm just going to let you know that I'm a gagger. I gag. Really? Why don't you just brush your fucking teeth so I don't have to worry about you throwing up on the fucking left sleeve of my what do you call this? The doctor robe. The doctor coat or whatever. Yeah, I used to take the impressions. And people used to always gag. When you do the top. And if you hang in there another 8 seconds. And then they'd always say, yeah, God, I fucking hate the dentist. Really? Well, why don't you brush your fucking teeth, you idiot? You know, I guess I do the same thing. I hate going to the gym, but God knows I'm going to go order a fucking pizza right now. Oh, Jesus, I'm in a mood. So, yeah, that's what I would guess. So basically, after you took the impressions, if you want to know the whole fucking process, and the person's going every 5 seconds, if they don't puke on you, you actually have a good impression. Then you take it into the little lab, and then you take out a little green cup, that rubber green cup. That's all I remember. Things could only be mixed in that. I never took a chemistry class, so I don't know why it couldn't be just a plastic bowl, but it was always those rubber things. And then you'd mix it up, and then you'd pour it into the fucking impression, and then you'd stick it on this little vibrating thing, trying to get all the bubbles out of it. And there was nothing fucking worse than if you didn't get all the bubbles out of it, and then I swear to God, the bubble would always be right where the person's tooth was, and you'd fuck up the whole impression, and then you'd have to go in there and be like, we got to do it again. I'd have to deal with that again. So I would guess that what they're doing is they're skipping that whole step. I don't know what they do. If you take a whole pack of juicy fruit and you chew it up and then, you know, form it to the top of your mouth and then you mail that in and they make a denture out of that, I have no fucking idea, but that's really a scary thing. It's a really scary thing, you know? That's the kind of shit I wish people focused on. Like, everybody keeps talking about that fucking broad who had the 8 kids. Can you believe it? I mean, that's so irresponsible. Who gives a fuck? People talking about all the money she's going to cost us. She's going to cost us, what, a couple million? You know, what about these, you know, the fucking bankers? $750 billion. Nobody gives a fuck about that. Some chick squirts 8 babies out of her twat. It's going to cost us, you know, 0.5% compared to what these fucking cunts did, who stole $1 trillion and then gave themselves $30 million bonuses. Nobody gives a shit about that. You know, some chick squirts out fucking 8 babies, and all of a sudden no one can stop looking at it. You know why? Because it has a face. You know what she looks like. That's the thing. That's the genius of the bankers. Nobody knows what a banker looks like. I don't even know what the fuck my teller looks like. I go to the goddamn ATM because I work nights. All right. What else? What else can I do on this podcast? This is going to be a short podcast. I'm doing a podcast until I get home, and that's going to be it because I'm exhausted with these fucking podcasts. All right? It's insane. You know, the amount of podcasts that I've done this fucking week to no avail. You know, it reminds me of listening to somebody talking about, who the fuck was it? Recording with like Ray Charles. You do like 9,000 takes of Georgia On My Mind, and by the end of it, you wanted to make them deaf too, you know? That's what I feel like right now with these fucking podcasts. So I guess the last thing that I have to do is I'm stuck in traffic waiting to make my left-hand turn to come home to order a pizza. Is I going to announce the winner of the submissions for the original proctologist. I went to the proctologist joke. I got to admit, man, they were all strong. And everybody seemed to like, there's sort of an even amount of people liking every one of them except for one. So basically, I think I'm going to pass out like 3 or 4 DVDs. You know what? Everybody's a winner except for the one guy. The one guy who meandered for 20 minutes about having the chick's titty mashed in the mammogram. He's the only one who didn't get any votes. Everybody else, the guy with the potato salad line got a lot of votes. The dude who freaked me out got a bunch of votes. And the dude who did the, had the great angle. I thought this was the most original angle of the gay guy bragging that he's dating a proctologist. You know? If you didn't listen to that podcast, he was saying, like, it's kind of like if, you know, one of your buddies started dating a gymnast, you know? And then all your buddies would be jealous, like, Jesus Christ, I bet she can do some freaky shit, you know? Can bend her every which way. He was saying gay guys would do that. I bet they'd get jealous if you started dating a proctologist, and they'd all be sitting around going, Jesus Christ, I bet he really knows his way around an ass. Thank you. That was the hacky gay guy voice. I don't know if you guys noticed, but my chick voice is basically the hacky gay guy voice just done at a whisper, if you ever want to get that impression down. Instead of going, hi, fellas, I just go, hey, what's going on? Where's this relationship going? It's the exact same thing. I am a complete fucking no talent. And anyways, I'm in my garage right now. So this podcast is over. I know it was a quick one. I know it was a quick one. All right? It's a little 12-minute. It's an EP. All right? Like Guns N' Roses Live. That's what it's like. All right? Except I didn't drop the N-word. Even though there was a half-black Obama guitarist in my group. How fucking drugged up with Slash that day, where he fucking co-signed on that one. Anyways, I want to thank everybody who came out to the my shows back in Boston, at the Comedy Connection at the Wilbur Theater, and out in Chicopee, Massachusetts. I had a great time coming back there. Had a bunch of friends, family, former babysitter from the 70s showed up. It was an unbelievable weekend. And then I went out to Chicopee, Massachusetts. That show sold out as well. And I was a bunch of drunks, and I made my way through it. And then I went back to my fancy hotel in Boston. I ordered a filet mignon. The maid had left classical music on the clock radio. I'm trying to remember how this went down. That's right. I walked into my hotel room. They, you know, the turn down service. I don't know what that means. They fold your sheets back and they give you a mint. And she left classical music playing on my clock radio. I ordered the filet mignon, little mashed potatoes, a glass of red wine, and I sat there and ate it, and it was one of the most loneliest experiences I've ever had in my life. To the point I actually had to call Robert Kelly and tell him in the moment how lonely I was. The steak sucked, too. It was such a bad steak, I actually didn't even consider putting A1 on it. I went straight to ketchup. That's how bad it was. And I don't put anything on it. You shouldn't put anything on a steak. It should just taste delicious. And this thing was so fucking... I ordered it medium rare, and it was gray all the way through, and it was tough like fucking shoe leather, that mozzarella. Anybody know that? Huh? What's that one from? Anybody? I'll give you 5 seconds. Tough like fucking shoe leather, that mozzarella. I only know one other fucking person who ever knew that reference, whoever brought it up, and he owns Gotham Comedy Club. It was Eric Roberts in the Pope of Greenwich Village. Tough like fucking shoe leather, that mozzarella. Anyway, the fucking steak stunk, and I actually put ketchup on it. It tasted like fucking hamburger. No, it didn't, because hamburger tastes great, but you know what I mean? Any chefs out there, you never put ketchup. Okay, let's do overrated, underrated. You know what's fucking overrated? A1 steak sauce. I don't even get it. It sucks. I am in a garage right now talking to myself, basically, about fucking A1 steak sauce. Who gives a fuck? I'm done with this podcast. Next week, you're gonna get a double album out of me, all right? I promise you. But this week, you're getting the EP. All right? Thank you to everybody who came out to the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Massachusetts, and all you fucking meth heads and drunks who came out to the Hookie Lau in Chicopee, Massachusetts. And my next upcoming gig, I am going to be at Wise Guys in Ogden, Utah. I believe it's Saturday night, February 21st. So please come out to see me, man. I've never done a club out that way. I've only done colleges. And why don't you come along and bring your 18 fucking wives or whatever the hell it is you Mormons do out there. And, you know, I figure you're a cool Mormon if you're actually listening to this. So, you know, come out to the show. And congratulations to the Lakers and the Cavaliers, man. You guys look like you're going to be playing. You're just playing a hungrier game. Playing a fucking hungrier game. But I have to say this before I sign off. I really think that the reason why I can't stand the fucking NBA is, unlike any other sports, like that sport, the officials control the outcome of the game like I've never seen. It's like it always... Like, the Celtics-Lakers was a fucking great game. And then down to the end, they just kept blowing the whistle on both sides. I'm not being a crybaby here. Lakers won fair and square, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes they should just put the fucking whistle away. It's, you know, just let them fucking play. And they did that in the Cavaliers game. It's like you got these two juggernauts going head to fucking head. And then this little fag keeps blowing his whistle. Now all the action stops. And then, you know, hey, stop pushing him. That's ridiculous. Okay, let's let him shoot uncontested. It's the biggest fucking buzzkill to the end of any game I've ever seen. You know, and I love how there's been a referee that has been busted for having mob ties in the fucking NBA, and I'm supposed to act like that's the only guy. Like there was just one bad apple. You know. I don't know, what do you guys think? That's my question for you this week. Out of all the four major sports, which referee do you think, if you bought him, could really influence the outcome of the game? I'd have to go NBA. Because it's so easy to get a guy out of the game. You just keep calling fouls in football, you know? To throw a guy out of the game, you got to wait till he, you know, kicks somebody in the balls and spits in their face and I don't know what. Look at me, babbling, and, you know, literally the light in my garage went out. I have to get out of the car. All right, guys, that's it. I'm going to save this podcast so you're going to hear it, unless I don't know how to fucking upload it. It's been a brutal week. All right, guys, take it easy.
All right. Fuck list. Bill, I wake up at my girlfriend's house. She leaves for work. I can't find my socks. She says, I have some. She says, I have some. Just use mine and leaves. I wake up later and I look for the sock drawer, top drawer, right? And I find this list with about 20 to 30 names on it. And my name is near the bottom. Oh, no. Some have check marks on them, etc. I ask her about it, and while she's initially upset, it turns out to be her fuck list. Wow, I don't even have a fuck. I have a list in my head. She actually made a fuck list? Dude, you coined a phrase. She said she made it after we got together with some friends drunk one night. She then admitted to being somewhat of a whore, her words not mine, before we met, but assures me that she hasn't done anything since she met me with anyone else. I do believe her, but I totally blew up on her, and we haven't been talking for a few days. I also look a bit creepy as to why I went through her drawer. It was in an envelope. Yeah, you know what it is? Yeah, you kind of look creepy, but she would have done that to you. You know, women call it snooping. When we do it, it's fucking creepy. Anyways, he goes, I need some help here on this one. Do I apologize? She already has. Do I just say fuck it and forget about it? What's Nia's take on it? God damn it. You know what? I'm going to have to ask her take on that one. I'm not going to have it on this podcast. When I go home, I fly home tomorrow. I'll try to have an epilogue to this podcast, or maybe tack it on to the following weeks. That is a great question because I don't trust this girl. You know, that when a girl is that fucking free, all right, and I know girls are getting mad. Well, why can't we be as free as you? I'll tell you why you can't, because you don't have to work at getting laid. Okay, I can be sexually liberated. I still have to go out to the bar. I got to do a fucking tap dance. You know, like me getting laid, it's like somebody on fucking American Idol trying to get that ticket to Vegas. You know, that's what it's like, is it, for most guys anyways, to get laid. Even if you're good at it, it's like fucking, you know. It's not hot, but you guys, anytime you want to fuck, you can fuck. Look at that girl tonight. She came up with her back out. I didn't even know it was there. I put my hand and I wasn't ready. 44-year-old guy. I'm sitting there. I can't even fucking talk. So that's what I would be worried about. She said she's a bit of a whore. Like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, or if, like, I don't know about that one. She sat down and she made a list. Jesus Christ. 20 to 30 names. Now, this is the thing. I don't know how old she is. All right? 20, you know, for a girl, 20 to 30 names, I don't think is even that bad. The fact that she, well, I don't know, but it might be even worse because they are not honest about their number. They do the exact opposite of what we do. Guys, we exaggerate our numbers. They dial them fucking back. Like women's how many guys have you been with numbers is like when they put out how many people are unemployed in this country. You know, they try to keep that number fucking down. It's the same thing. A fuck list. I mean, I don't know how I'd ever get past that. You sat around with your friends. Are your friends all whores? You know? And it's not like they just sat there going, oh, yeah, you know, I fucking, you know, Bobby, Philip, fucking... Dakota, trying to have a fucking modern name. Range Rover, whatever fucking people call kids, boys now. And then, you know, there's checks next to him of like what she did with him or how good the dick was. And I don't know if that's one of those things that they all fucking do. And you just unfortunately peek behind the curtain and you should let it go. I have no experience with something like that. Oh, this would have been a great Nia question. I have to do this with her and get into a fucking giant argument. But then I run the risk of possibly getting a fucking preview of her fuck list, which I don't want to know about. I don't want to know. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I don't give a fuck. At my age, I don't give a fuck. Are you clean? Good. Okay. What do I think? You were fucking in a goddamn bubble. I hope you banged enough guys and learned how to fuck. I really do, because I don't need some fish in bed, you know, just laying there. I haven't fucked a lot of people. Great. Isn't that great? Do you want a pilot who hasn't flown a lot of planes? You know, there's give and take. Okay, you got a girl who hasn't fucked a lot of guys, and, you know, she sucks a dick like she's eating green beans. That's the trade-off, you know? Ah, dude, that sucks. That really sucks for you. Why were you going to wear one of her socks to work, though? You know, with a little fucking Chris Everett ball hanging off the back?